I want to thank you all for coming to celebrate the life of our friend Paddy Noonan, to some known as Father Patrick and to others just Packy. He'd be very pleased that you all have come to celebrate in faith and to celebrate with gratitude his 54 years of ministry. And what a great and enriching ministry that was. Lulu was one of his favorite words. I know you know that. Everyone who was a friend of Father Noonan's was a Lulu. Many weren't sure what it meant. They often question whether it was a good thing or a bad thing, but let me assure you, it was a good thing. It was really something akin to baptism. Just as we are baptized into Christ Jesus through baptism, so in becoming a Lulu, you entered into the life of Packy Noonan in a very special way. Nobody was exempt, bishops, priests, friends, parish members, all were Lulus, if you had a relationship with Paddy Noonan. There were degrees of Luluism. You could be a bit of a Lulu. You could be a Lulu. You could be a bigger Lulu. You could be a thundering Lulu. On the top of the line, you were a ferocious Lulu. And if you were with him over the period of a few days, you could be every one of those. Nobody stayed at the introductory level, so I welcome you, fellow Lulus, as we bid farewell to our leader. He's a truly extraordinary man. And he enriched our lives so profoundly, his charismatic nature, his infectious optimism, his wit and his Irish humor, and the lilt of Irish laughter just endeared him to so many people. There was never a gathering for us as priests that we went to where there wasn't a group gathered around Packy. And he was all aglow, telling wonderful stories. People gathered around him, and sometimes the stories were even true. He knew how to wind others up, and he had a great facility for taking it all in sport when we were successful at turning the tables on him. And it was a great testament to his person that he could laugh just as heartily, whether he was the jokester or whether he was the target. Among us priests, he was truly a valued friend. Young and old alike found comfort in his wisdom and his counsel and his spiritual direction, and it all proceeded from his own deep spirituality. It's very clear that parishioners and others also found that same grace in him, his devotion to Mary. God, he must have walked hundreds of miles over the years praying the rosary. You could still find him in Deerfield outside of the house or anywhere else, and he died peacefully with the rosary beads in his hands. He saw himself as a sort of wounded healer because he knew hardships and he knew difficulties personally. He knew the great love and gratitude and generosity of people, and it inspired him greatly to keep going when times were rough or difficult. He often spoke of the days at Immaculate Heart of Mary in Greenwood, and the great effect that your love had on him, particularly when it was challenging. He said, the hardest thing I ever had to do in my whole life was to stand up at the masses one weekend at Immaculate Heart and tell the people that I was leaving, taking a break for a while to get some help, to get my head straightened out. And he said, you know, they gave me a standing ovation. It meant the world to him. He said, I knew I could do whatever I needed because of their love. He had kind of lost the spark for a while and the fire that had been his, but he gained a new life and a whole new outlook through that experience. And he encouraged many others, including myself, to take time away just to be healed so that we continue to journey. Recently, after his diagnosis, we were talking about some of these things and some of the stories and great events, and God knows the stories, or I know every one of you has stories. But we were talking about some of them, and I told him, well, I'll tell this story, and then I said, no, I'll tell that one. And he said, lad, I don't want you going on with any of that foolishness that you go on with, he said. He said, this will be a spiritual event. And so, he naturally said no to a few stories. But he said yes to one about Mikko. Mikko is Father Mike O'Brien. And he loved to switch it over to somebody else. Story goes, it's true, and he loved it. Shortly after Packy had gone away, and then he came back to Immaculate Heart of Mary, and shortly after that he was assigned to St. Mary's in Jackson. He came back refreshed and renewed, and we became friends pretty instantly, and our friendship really grew rapidly. And then my faithful friend from seminary days, Father Mike, one day, he took me aside and he said, I notice you've been getting very close. He said to Packy, he said, you might want to be a little bit careful, you know, because he's a bit wild. And you know, he might influence you. Well, there's no doubting Mike O'Brien had a great point. He influenced us and he influenced every one of us. Every priest in the Jackson area and beyond, he became one of the most influential priests in our diocese when he came to Jackson. He had powerful influence. His ability to care for you, to care about you, was unparalleled. He always had time and had patience and generosity for those who were in need. And sometimes he had a rather unique way of dealing with the problems or the issues that came up. One day while he was at St. Mary's, he came home from his second home, which was the YMCA. And he encountered this chap who was looking for help. And he says himself, you know, usually I'd make a sandwich and give them a few dollars and set them on their way. But he said, I had nothing in the house. I had no money in my pocket. So he had to become a little creative. He said to the man, sit in here into my car. And he said, I'll take you to a place where they'll care for you. They have a lovely priest down the road here and they love helping people. And so he drove the man down to St. Peter's Cathedral, in around the back of the chancery office. And then he said, go up those steps. He said, they have a lovely priest. He'll give you a sandwich and he'll give you money, because he said, this, the chancery, is where they keep all our money anyway. And he said, I took off out of there pretty rapidly. He arrived back at St. Mary's and the phone was ringing, and he picks up the phone and it was Father Bob Olivier. He was like a wet hen. He was fuming. He said, did you just drive somebody down here for help? And Packy said, what did you say? He said, did you just drive somebody down here? He said, that was looking for help. And Packy said, Bob, you know me. He said, do you think I would do that? And Bob Olivier says, no, I don't think you would. But he said, the man who came here, he said, the priest from St. Mary's drove him down. And just as quickly as anything, he said to Bob Olivier, any chance it might have been Tony Smith? Tony Smith at that point was working part-time in Father McGing's office. And he said, is Smith there? And he said, no, he's probably down at the chancery. You can see him there. He said, I'm not going to see him, but if you see Smith, you tell him that we have enough people down here to take care of besides him driving them down here. Paddy is very much loved at home in Ireland, and particularly among family, just as he is here. And he had a pretty nice idea of connecting you all, family, with the missions here in Mississippi. So he signed his family up for a subscription to Mississippi Catholic. It was a nice, wholesome idea. And family were able to keep up with what was happening in the church in Mississippi and get to know various priests and names and churches and what was happening in the diocese. And that worked very well for a while. And then it happened that a neighbor's son appeared in the paper on a regular basis. That neighbor's son is a priest here in our diocese as well. They're neighbors. And so his family began to ask, is Dave O'Connor the only one doing the work here in Mississippi? They said, we see Dave's picture every week and all that he is doing. Are you doing anything at all? But he took care of that problem. He canceled that subscription. But I do want to say to you, Michael and Michal and Seamus, that this is the truth. Shortly after he canceled that subscription, he had a great run himself in Mississippi Catholic. He really did. He had an excellent run there. He was in the paper almost every week at St. Mary's. He was always doing something that caught the eye of the staff of the Mississippi paper. And it inspired one of our friends whom you would have known back over the years. He was from Fieries in County Kerry, just below you all. James O'Riordan inspired that great reflection from him. He said, boys, telling all of us, if I open the Mississippi Catholic one more time and see Packy Noonan's picture, I'm going to cancel all subscriptions. He said, looking in the paper and seeing Packy Noonan's picture every week, he said, makes us look like we're doing nothing. But it's all good and well to be up here and telling the stories and telling the truths. But we'd be sitting there crying if we weren't, because this is such a profound loss for us. It was such an integral part of our lives. The loss is profound and it's hard to speak of. For every single one of you, Paddy Noonan had an extraordinary gift of presence. When you were in his presence, you had his whole attention and you had the feeling that you were just his best friend. And I'm sure that most of you here felt that at some point or another you felt Paddy Noonan was your best friend and you were probably his best friend too. That was a part of his charm and a part of his gift. And people have met him, and people here in our parish have said when we've had reconciliation and we've had the retreats, people have said to me, you know, I don't know what it was, but he just seemed to understand me so well. I just felt loved and understood by him. The readings that we chose today to remember, they're appropriate for this dignified occasion. The first reading from the Book of Wisdom, the great reminder to us, a stark reminder of the fact that death is not the end. It is the gateway or entry point into a new life. The souls of the just are in the hands of God, and no torment shall touch them. In the view of the foolish, they seem to be dead and nothing more, and they're passing away thought and affliction, but they are in peace. Thank you, Lord, for that peace for our friend and brother. And the second reading is especially appropriate. St. Paul's words to Timothy as he came to the end of his life. He said, "The time has come for my departure. I've competed well. I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Last week, just about this time, Bishop Kopasz and George and Kathy and Martha and myself were in the room, and Dr. Young came in and told us, after much discussions during the day, she said, "There's nothing more we can do for him." Those are the hard words, the really difficult words for people. We've done everything we can. But he had anticipated that reality as well. And she said, "I recommend that you can begin the hospice care, and you can begin here, and we'll get 5 days right here without moving at all." And we said yes, and explained the process to Paddy Noonan, just as he had planned, told him, "Hey, this was what you had in mind, nothing extraordinary, but then we were going to move to hospice." Kept asking, "Have you called hospice, Jerry?" You know, on for the next hours. And I said, "Dr. Young is calling them." He had said just about 2 weeks before, "Heck, I'm 80 years of age. What can I expect? I've been very blessed in my life." He said, "I'm like St. Paul. I have fought the good fight." The gospel is pretty special to him. He just loved that passage. He chose it for his 25th anniversary and chose it again when we celebrated here with his family 4 years ago for his 50th anniversary. He used it many other occasions. He loved that passage. He always loved and appreciated the mercy, the peace, and the forgiveness of Jesus. And he was a great minister of that. He constantly challenged himself with the question. It became a kind of a mantra to him. "Patrick, do you love me?" And the answer is very clear to us. We know, because we have been the beneficiaries of that grace. I know if Paddy were here, he would be sitting down here, probably by Bernie Farrell. Where's Bernie? He'd probably be sitting back there with you, Bernie, if he were here, and he'd nudge Bernie and he'd say, "Hey, the lad is okay, but and he can preach, but he gets a bit long-winded, and he has difficulty landing, and He would say, because he said it just a month ago today at the first Friday Mass, he was sitting down in front of me and he said, "Hey, the lad has made two passages already to try and land, and now he's back up in the air." So I just want to say, hey, I am going to land. I am going to bring it to a conclusion. Sitting with him, with Pat, last Friday and Saturday gave me a new insight into Sunday's gospel. Last Sunday's gospel, where Jesus said, "Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And then later in the same passage of the gospel, he said, "And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." I was struck by those two thoughts. They seem like very stark realities, carrying the cross and sharing hospitality. And I thought, wow, they're so different, almost opposed to each other. And then it came to me, they're not two separate actions, but they're very real, and Jesus himself made them very real. He made them one. The most hospitable action in the Christian experience is this. That's the most hospitable action. And Paddy Noonan, we have had the opportunity to bask in the hospitality of Paddy Noonan's life for many years now. And it has brought us to the cross, to his death. But there is a great relationship between these two holy realities. I trust and hope that we will all feel this present cross is worth it all because of the love he lavished upon us. And though we will not see him for a time, we have no doubt about the impact he has had on our lives, and that we have certainly been loved and touched deeply. And in so doing, he has given us the greatest personal example of the mystery that we encounter every day, the God whom we do not see, but loves us very dearly. Thank you, my friend, and farewell.